Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Well, for those of you that don't recognize me yet, I'm Pastor Rick. I'm just excited. I am so excited to be here as now assisting to Matt and Grace, and it's just an incredible thing. I am just so excited about that and just being here for all you folks as we just experience life together. And wasn't that alive? Honestly, I was having a deep conversation with the Lord as we were finishing up that worship through song, and I was going, Lord, I don't even need to say and add much to that, because that was you and that was all of you. And so I really did. I asked him, I said, because I'm the kind of person that if the Lord says, you know what, you don't need to say anything else, I'll just go, done. We're done. But I asked the Lord and he said, you can add a couple of things to that. I'll let you talk a little bit. And so the thing that I wanted to talk to all of you about is that in 5 weeks, we will be celebrating Easter. But what will we be celebrating this Wednesday? Does anybody know that there is a celebration, an actual biblical celebration taking place this Wednesday? Purim. This week is Purim, which is the celebration of the book of Esther. In 5 weeks, the Christian world will celebrate the most incredible event that ever took place to the day, and we were singing all about it. The fact that Jesus was crucified, he suffered, and he died, and he went into the tomb, and he descended, the scripture says, into hell to the dead, and on the third day, oh yeah, he definitely rose again. And because he rose, we rise too. We rise now, and we will also rise again in the end to live forever with our Father in glory. And so we were definitely celebrating that, and we will definitely celebrate that in a special way in 5 weeks. I'm a teacher at heart, and that's why they even invited me to come on over here. It's like, oh, we could use that gifting. And I was like, you know what? I just appreciate that in all humility. And I'm just happy that whenever I get an opportunity. So I was just thinking, you know what? I would just love to add a little thing to what's going on today about what's going on this week. And I believe God will add something to us through that. That this Wednesday is the Jewish celebration of Purim. Now, I'm not Jewish. I'm not a Jew. And you might be saying, I'm not a Jew either. So what does that have to do with this? But you know what? Yeah, you actually are. You just don't know it. Because the New Testament actually tells us, Paul actually tells us in Romans that we actually are all the nation of Israel now through our faith in Israel's Messiah, Jesus, our Jewish Messiah, and that makes us all of the Jewish completed faith. And so I think it's just right that we would learn a little bit about Purim, because if you're like me, I'll be going, oh, what does that have to do with me? What do I do with Purim? Well, how about this? Let me help you with it. Just as it's fun to find eggs on Easter, we're going to look for eggs today. Yeah. Except we're only going to look for Esther eggs instead of Easter eggs. Because Wednesday is the celebration of the book of Esther. So before we get to Easter, we're going to learn how to find some Esther eggs. All right? And I'm going to do this pretty quick because, you know, the Lord, he already filled us up really full. And I just want to add what he said to the top to overflowing. The thing about the book of Esther that is actually being celebrated. And so if you've ever been around the Jewish community, have friends, or maybe you have a family. The book of Esther, celebrated this Wednesday on the celebration of Purim, is actually almost kind of like Halloween, except a righteous one for the Jewish community. And little kids dress up, little girls, they dress up like Queen Esther, and the little boys dress up like Mordecai, and you're going to learn all about that. And it's just a celebration. What it is, it's a celebration of God's incredible faithfulness for Israel. And we're all about that because Jesus is God's incredible faithfulness to Israel and God's incredible faithfulness to us. But this is the way the story goes. Israel, many of you know already, a long, long time ago, way back, thousands of years ago, the nation of Israel was taken captive by the Babylonians and then later by the Assyrians and then finally by the Persians. And this is where the story is. The nation of Israel has been in captivity for almost 70 years now, taken away from their homes, forced to live in a foreign country and in a foreign nation underneath the rulership that believes in foreign gods. And God did so many incredible stories during that time. You have the celebration and the beautiful story of Daniel and the celebration of the faithful young men, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And then you have all sorts of incredible stories coming out of that time. And this is one of them. And it's no wonder that we should and we want to know and learn about what's going on. You see, real quickly, back then, Persia was the ruling power. And they had a great king, and his name was Xerxes. And the first chapter and the first verse of Esther reads this way. And it talks about what Xerxes was doing. And it says his Persian name, Xerxes is his Greek name. His Persian name is Ahasuerus. And it says, now in the days of Ahasuerus, the Ahasuerus who reigned from India to Ethiopia, that's how big their kingdom had become. That part of the Asian world from India to Ethiopia, all the way from India to Africa, he ruled over 127 provinces. And in verse 2, it says, because of that, he wanted to celebrate. And what he did, he had a great banquet. And during that banquet was when he decided that he wanted to conquer Greece. Verse 4 shows us that during that banquet, from which he gathered all of his leaders, he showed the riches of his royal glory and the splendor and pomp of his greatness for 180 days. Now you're still saying, I get why we're reading this. What does that have to do with me? What, is that a celebration? Well, here, this will connect it for some of you a little bit more. You might not know Ahasuerus or be that familiar with his Greek name, Xerxes, but some of you are more familiar with the battle that he planned during these 180 days, the battle he fought with the 300 Spartans. Oh, you know that movie, The 300? And you know that those Spartans are the ones. Oh, those guys? Okay. Okay. Okay, ladies, look down. Okay. I'm sorry, Lord. I didn't mean to put that in their minds. That movie, The 300, yeah, that's Gerard Butler. Doesn't look like that anymore. That movie, The 300, is a movie that talks about the battle that was fought against this king. Some of you are more familiar with the more biblically tailored movie, One Night with the King, the story of Esther. Same guy, same Esther that we're celebrating or supposed to celebrate this Wednesday. So to roll the story forward real quickly, what ends up happening? And this is a little history. So bear with me, those of you that just hated history. The Israelites are under captivity. They've been under captivity for almost 70 years. King Xerxes, now the great Persian king, decides he makes plans. He wants to go fight the Greeks and ends up fighting the Spartan 300. Right before he takes off to fight them, he has this great banquet, which he makes all of his plans. And during that banquet, to all of his generals, to all of his leaders, and to all the captains of his armies, he wants to show off one of his most prized possessions, his wife, Queen Vashti. So he commands that Queen Vashti should appear in the banquet, like a dutiful wife should, before her king. I'm saying that's what Xerxes was thinking. Don't go telling my wife that that's what I think, okay? But no, I would never promote that. But that's what King Xerxes was wanting. He wanted Vashti to come and to show her beautiful self in front of all of his generals. But guess what? Vashti seemed like she was a pretty modern girl, because in verse 12, this is what ended up happening. It says, but Queen Vashti refused. She refused to come at the king's command delivered by the eunuchs. And at this, the king became enraged and his anger burned within him. So guess what he did? He decided to depose the queen. He says, if you're not going to come to my party, away with you. So he got rid of Queen Vashti and he decided to have a beauty contest. And he says, you know what? I'll just get a new wife. I rule over nations and there are many beautiful women in this nation and I'm going to find the most beautiful one and she will become my new wife. Now remember, under his rulership is also all the people of Israel. And in his leadership just happens to be one incredible Jewish man whose name is Mordecai. And Mordecai just happens to have the most wonderful and most beautiful cousin that anyone has ever seen, and her name was Esther. So Mordecai says, I should put Esther in the pageant. So he did. It's like, thanks, cuz. So Mordecai puts Esther into the pageant of all the women that King Xerxes would consider for his new bride. And guess what all the women got treated to before they stood before the king? 1 year at Burke Williams. All the guys are going, what's a Burke Williams? Oh, my wife has trained me well. They got 12 months at the spa. It's in the Bible. For 1 year, they got beauty treatments. Then they got to go for free. Now, you'd go tell your husband, now that's in the Bible, honey. And so for 12 months, they were treated royally. And then, guess what? Esther was the one that was chosen. Esther chapter 2, verse 17 says this. And this was the king's response. And the king loved Esther more than all the women. And she won grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. And so that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Now still we're going, and the Jews are celebrating that? And we're supposed to be celebrating that at Purim? And I'm going to let my little girl dress up like Queen Esther because of that? No, it's not because of that. And what I meant when I said that we're going to learn to look for Esther eggs, just as we learn to look and we have fun finding Easter eggs. You know how it is when you hide eggs for your kids? I still love to do this for Stephen and Jared in the back. And we'd invite a bunch of the kids from the church and God gave us a jungly backyard, so it's good for hiding eggs. And so you hide eggs there. But then the thing is that when they're looking for the egg could be right in front of them and they're not seeing it. And you're going, come on, you're getting hot. And they're like, they're looking all over the place. And it's like right there. It's like, come on, it's right there. You're hot, you're super hot, you're on fire, you're exploding. And they still can't see and they're looking around. And then they go, no, go back over here. Still can't see it. You see, what I call an Esther egg is the fact that God is faithful and incredible and provides sometimes right in front of our face.
Come on.
And we just can't see it half the time.
Right.
In the book of Esther, there are so many incredible things that happened in this story that happened just like it does in our lives, but just we don't see it sometimes. And so real quickly, I wanted us to just to find three Esther eggs in our life that parallel what went on in the story of Esther. The first one is this. Everything looks rosy. Esther has now been made the queen. The queen over the nation that has power over Israel. And you're thinking, oh, things are getting good now. You see, first we were in captivity. And that's not good. And it's going on, and I'm just being oppressed for almost 70 years. And how many of us have felt like that in life? It's like, this oppression is just going on and on. The struggle is just going on. And then a glimmer of light. Esther gets turned into the queen. And you're like, okay, now Jesus, now it's going good. Now it's going to be okay. But right after Esther is named the queen, her cousin, the one that nominated her, finds out that an evil man in the king's court named Haman has put into motion a new law that basically is going to bring death to every single Jew in the nation. Even though Esther has just been named the queen. Oh, by the way, her cousin Mordecai told her, don't tell anybody you're a Jew. So now this law is about to be put into force where every single person, including Esther, will be put to death. I was like, oh, that's just great. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Just when I thought you were finally going to cut me some slack, just when I finally thought things were going to start going up, they go from bad, that's right, to even worse. Yeah. In fact, that's probably the worst that you could imagine. That death now is there, ready to take control and to put an end to everything and anything that you thought was going on. And all this time, I thought I was God's person. I thought we were the people of God. But you should already know the ending to this story because it's something that everybody's celebrating. So it should be no surprise that we know that an incredible and a beautiful and a powerful ending happens all by the hand of God. But Esther doesn't know that yet. And Mordecai doesn't know that. And all the Jews, they don't know that yet. And that's the way it is many times.
Come on, that's right.
God's ready to answer, but we just don't know it yet. That's your first Esther egg. Because just like in Esther's life, so many times we're ready to throw in the towel or we're already cursing the name of the Lord or just giving up and says, you know what, this was a waste of time. This really was a waste of time. I could have been watching the game on Sunday. And I invested in you, and here I am.
Come on, man.
But hold on. God will answer.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's right.
God is still there.
Yes, he is.
Esther egg one. God answers. Just sometimes you have to wait.
Yes.
And many times, it's going to go from bad to worse. Oh, man. So my life, people that I've counseled, or that come to me, it just, and there's no way you try to share. It's just, I know, it's bad, I know. There's just no way of renaming it. It's just bad. It's horrible. But you know, God will answer.
That's right.
He will. And then the end is that incredible flip. I'm just going to go straight to the end.
Yeah.
The end. When God turned everything around. Because in the end of Esther's story, everything flips over. Haman's plot is discovered. Amen. Such an incredible flip. And I know this is kind of gruesome, but Haman gets hung on his own gallows that he had built to hang Mordecai on.
Come on.
And by the end of the story, he's the one being punished. He's the one being brought to justice because God was able to flip everything around. God has turned everything around. You see, the second Esther egg is that, you know what? God turns everything around. Oh, you might say, oh, no, he didn't turn everything around for me. Oh, yeah, for once I was lost, but now I'm found. For once I was in death, but now I have life, and I have life eternal on top of that. And oh yeah, you know what? God just turned everything around.
Yeah, that's right.
But sometimes that egg is sitting right in front of me. It's like, what did God do? Did he do anything for me? He didn't do anything for me this week. Oh, look a little closer. It's right there. Look a little closer. That Esther egg is right in your face. It's when God flips everything around. The hard truth is this. Sometimes not much physically will change. But we don't live by sight. We live and we rejoice and we take joy by faith. And through faith, everything. every single thing has changed. Every single thing. And God turned everything around. But I said we had three eggs. The incredible thing about Esther's story, and this is why they celebrate. This is one of the reasons they celebrate. The amazing thing about Esther's story is that incredible flip happened because of Esther. You see, she might have just thought she was just a bystander in all of this, that the real story was happening between her cousin Mordecai and Haman and all the things that were happening politically in the king's court, and that the whole nation was now under threat of death. And that she was just a bystander. She was just, honestly, the pretty girl. But the incredible and the most powerful thing, I think, is that she was the actual instrument of God's deliverance. And many of you know this, and this is the reason we should be remembering this and celebrating this, that God uses Esther to do his work. Everybody recognize this? This is a Bible. This is what it says in Esther chapter 5. And on the third day, this is how the change happened. All the Jews are fearing for their life. Mordecai knows, this is it. And so on the third day, Esther put on her royal robes. Remember, this is Xerxes, the guy who rules over all these nations. This is the one that fought against Gerard Butler, and he's just like this, and killed him. This is the king that if you don't do what I say, even if you're my wife, you're out of here. And on the third day then, when all the gloom and the darkness and the death was just on the doorway, and on the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and she stood in the inner court of the palace in front of the king's hall. You know why? Because nobody gets to go in the king's throne room without permission. And she didn't have any permission. So she stood in the inner court of the palace in front of the king's hall. And the king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall facing the entrance. And when he saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased with her. And he held out to her the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther approached and she touched the tip of the scepter. And the king asked, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Because I will give you up to half my kingdom." Just like that. And at that moment, Esther reveals the plot to kill her people, the one that Haman had been working in the background. And because of that, everything begins to turn around. And we celebrate the fact that God used a young lady. She was very young. Used a young lady to turn the entire course of a nation around. But before we get to that, I just want to give you a bonus egg. There's a bonus egg here. Oh, yeah, for the bonus egg. Yeah, an egg. No, an Esther egg. The bonus Esther egg is this. Check this out. Not only do we celebrate the fact that God uses Esther to turn the course of a nation, but do you see that imagery in there? Do you realize there's a promise right there? Do you realize that's where we find hope right there?
Yeah.
That Esther, who really had no rights to go in before the king, found an audience with him, and he granted her entrance into his court. You know, that's exactly what it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 16, over every one of you. Do you know that that's what it says in Hebrews 4:16? Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. You know what? Yeah. Because you know what? None of us are worthy to come before God. None of us. Just like Esther. And when I read that so many times, I say, you know what? That's us. Esther should have been slain right at the doorway of the king's throne because she was not worthy to enter in. And just like Esther, either are any of us. We're not worthy to come before God. But because of Jesus, he makes us worthy. And all the things that we were singing and all the things that we were celebrating during our song time and worship and all the praises that we're giving, you know what? All that happens because we can actually come before God.
Yes.
Because he actually even listens to us.
Yes.
Because he actually even hears all this.
Yes.
And that's your bonus egg right there.
Yeah.
That no matter when and whatever time, and no matter who you are or what condition you are in, you can come before God.
That's right.
And he will give you an audience. And the scripture says, and if by chance you haven't been around his throne for a long time, and maybe you've ignored, when he sees you, he's going to get up and he's going to run right to you.
Amen.
And that is are the beautiful parallels that we find in the book of Esther, that we find in our own lives. Things that sometimes are hidden. Things that sometimes we just can't see, like eggs. Like an Easter egg that might be sitting right there, right on the end of the bush. And I'm looking at it, and I just can't see it. And in our lives, so many times, I hate to say that I'm guilty of it myself. I just look around and go, I don't know, God. Are you even there today? Have you even heard me today? There's just so much confusion. I just feel so desperate. I just feel so lost. I don't think this thing is working anymore.
Come on.
Yes.
And oh, I was wrong every single time. Sometimes I just needed someone to go, give me your hand. There it is right there. Give me your hands, folks. There it is.
Yes.
Right there.
Come on.
Every day. Every day. I promised you three. You got four. How's that? Will you all stand? And as I send you, I want to pray this over you. That like Esther, and the last thing that we actually discovered, that just as God used her during the time of trouble, that God would use us even in the midst of our trouble.
Yes.
That some of the most incredible and the most powerful things that we can do and we can share happen in our times of trouble.
Yeah.
And the testimonies of God's grace and God's power and God's beauty in our lives. Because God is at work.
Yeah.
All the time.
Amen.
Yeah. Lord, first of all, open our eyes.
Yeah.
That we might see your power and your glory and your beauty as you work through our lives all the time.
Yes.
And forgive us if we just are blinded. Forgive us sometimes if we just don't pay attention. Open our eyes, our hearts, that we might see you. See your hand there. That even if as I sit in the hospital room, or even as I'm there listening to the news from my boss, that I know you're still there. And I know you still have my hand. And I know you will never let me go.
That's right.
Help me to see you.
Yeah, that's right.
And help me never to forget your promise and what you've given me. That at those times of challenge and trouble, I can come before you.
Yes, Lord.
And not just stand at the doorway. I can come right up to you. I can come to your side. And even like your child, you take me up on your lap. Because the scripture says, it's legitimate for me to call you daddy. To call you Abba, because the king, guess what? He is my father.
Yes.
And may we carry that, Lord God, and may we walk that out, and may we live that out. But to bring it full circle and to complete it, Lord, take us in the midst of our troubles, take us in the midst of our challenges, and show us your glory, and then use us in the midst of all that to touch another life, someone else that's struggling. And I can say, you know what? I've been there. I feel your pain. But you know what? God is there.
Yes.
Because I know God is there. And use me to bless. Use me just to comfort. Use me just to sit there and to hold a hand.
Yes.
And we praise you. We thank you. And we give you all the glory. And we give you all the honor. Forever. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. God bless you all. Don't forget all the announcements. I don't think we have any more. I pronounce you dismissed. Watch out for those eggs.